Good morning, Symphony.
Good morning.
You know, before I give this sermon, I want to let you know that I've been fasting coffee, and it's been over 6 days, and I made a commitment to fast coffee for about 30 days to break this demonic stronghold in my life. And I'm still going through coffee withdrawal, so as I give the message, if I get upset, okay, or, you know, I start to cry for no apparent reason, or if I fall asleep while I'm preaching, it's because I'm going through this very severe coffee withdrawal. But I believe Jesus is more powerful than coffee. Okay? Jesus is more powerful than a cup of joe. I need to hear amen. Yeah, Jesus is more powerful than Jehovah Java. Amen. Yeah, so before the headache comes back, I'm going to go straight into the sermon. And then the sermon title is Humbly Accept the Word. Okay, Humbly Accept the Word. And the passage, the verse is from James chapter 1, verse 21. And I'm going to do the second part of that verse. And it says, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. And God's people said, amen. And, you know, we live in a broken world filled with broken people. And so because of that, we will all face rejection. There will be trials. There will be temptation. There will be spiritual attack. You know, we will make mistakes. We will fail at times. And there will be loss. So how are you going to go through those storms of life? I call those storms of life. In the storm of life, you must hold on to unchanging truth. As a Christian, your life must be on the foundation of Scripture. In a broken world filled with broken people, see, you're going to hear different voices. There are voices, you know, from advertisement, from government, from Hollywood, from social media, and now the AI is literally talking to you, right? There are voices from people around you, different opinions, different ideology. Also, there's the kingdom of darkness. Evil also speaks. And there's your own thought and emotion. And some people think just because you think it, just because you feel it, doesn't mean it is true. With so many different voices, it can be kind of confusing. We can be like that person described in James chapter 1. It's a person who is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. Describe that person as double-minded, unstable in all they do. In a broken world, we need an anchor, and the Bible is our anchor. Scripture is truth. Scripture has guided people throughout human history, through wars, through changing kings and presidents and rulers, and changes in empires. You know, the Bible describes itself as a seed, and our heart is the soil, right? The fruitfulness of the seed depends on what kind of soil it is planted, the seed is planted in. If the heart is a good soil, the seed will bear fruit. If the heart is not good, the seed will not bear fruit. And James chapter 1, verse 21, it says, humbly, your heart has to be humble, humbly accept the word that's planted in you. Humility is important for the seed to bear fruit in your heart. So today, I want to teach on Humility. Okay, I want to teach on humility. So point number one is humility is not low self-esteem. Can you say that to your neighbor? And you can see this in Exodus chapter 3 and 4 when God comes to Moses through the burning bush. God comes to Moses with truth, okay? Because God cannot lie, so he speaks truth to Moses. And the truth was, I have chosen you, Moses, to be my deliverer. You will overcome the Pharaoh. I'm going to use you to free the nation of Israel from slavery. God tells Moses this truth. I will help you. I will be with you. I will speak for you. Pretty much what God is saying is, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to give you victory. I'm going to give you victory. But Moses, some people might mistake this, but Moses did not respond with humility, but insecurity, low self-esteem. What did he say? To God's truth, I can't. I can't. I am not a deliverer, God. You got the wrong person. There's no way I will be able to overcome the Pharaoh. Instead, he will kill me. God, I'm not a leader. No one will listen to me. You got the wrong person. Please, God, send someone else. But what's interesting is, as you go through the Bible says Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth, right? In Numbers 12. But I want you to know, it wasn't when it was Exodus chapter 3 and 4, when he was fearful, when he had low self-esteem. As a matter of fact, when you read Exodus 3 and 4 afterwards, it says God was angry with Moses. It wasn't when he had low self-esteem, but over time, he changed, and he became that leader. And that's when he was humble, when he was a leader. And so humility is not believing, I can't, God, I can't. And I need to add this, humility is not believing, I can. Okay, that's not humility. Biblical humility is believing God can. God can. Philippians 4, that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It didn't stop, I can do all things. No, it's in Christ. I want you to say this to your neighbor. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Second point. Humility knows we are limited, but God is not limited. Okay, say that to your neighbor. Okay? In this world, okay, there are a lot of things that we don't know and understand. Okay, for example, Google, right? Google search engine. Okay, all of you go, I know Google, how to use Google search engine, right? It's so simple. Open my phone, click the Chrome or Google app, type something in that you want to know, and magic, okay? You get the answer. But my question is, do you truly know and understand how Google works? Because the reality is, it is so much more complex than just typing in a search for Google engine to work. For Google search engine to work, there are 2,000 to 3,000 engineers and computer scientists and programmers maintaining it to keep it functioning right now. There's thousands of other people working on the infrastructure and the complex network. For Google to work, there's this super complicated algorithm that's written on it. And did you know this? Google handles 2.5 billion gigabytes of data every single day for it to work. Do you really know how Google search engine really works? Without the Word of God, do you really know and understand life? Right? See, you and I won't know what is important in life without the Bible. How to be saved. How to become a Christian. You won't know the significance of Jesus dying on the cross without Scripture. Luther, during the Reformation, understood salvation by grace through faith in Christ alone. You know why? He studied the book of Romans. Because at his time, the church, what they were teaching is penance. You got to do penance to be saved. But he studied the book of Romans. So he understood the gospel because of the book of Romans. Because of Scripture, we know that we know where we come from and where we're going. We know that God has a purpose for our life. Because of Scripture, we know the spiritual realm. It is the Bible that shows us the path to the kingdom of God. And most important, because of Scripture, we know God. Okay? The timing is really off. We know God. See, when my car breaks down, I'm really bad at this. I need to take it to an expert who knows and understands cars. During your storm of life, when life is broken, when your life is chaotic, you and I need to humble ourselves. You and I need to see that we are limited. You and I have to rely on the unchanging truth of the Word of God. Amen? Third point, humility makes you teachable. Say that to your neighbor. When the Bible says, humbly accept the word planted in you, I believe it simply means be teachable. Okay? Be teachable. Humility makes you teachable. You know, more than my talents, more than my abilities and my intelligence, I see this as I get older and older and older. I'm going to be 60 this year. Okay, I'm going to be 60. Thank you. Just being nice. Okay, thank you. You know, see, what I see is that when I grow in humility, I become more teachable. Therefore, I'm able to learn more. I'm able to grow more. I'm able to mature more. I'm able to transform and change more. When life gets difficult and chaotic, our natural instinct is to get upset. Our natural instinct is to complain. Our natural instinct is to blame somebody else or make excuses. It is more natural. Our natural instinct when there's storms in our life, it is to get angry and react very negatively. What happens when you complain? What happens when you just get upset and angry? You are not teachable. So you don't change. You don't grow. You go backwards. But when you humble yourself in the midst of the shaking in your life, what's going to happen is you become teachable to God. You start to hear God's voice. Your heart is moldable and you change. You see, I was thinking about this. I would not go into a boat with Jesus, because every time his disciples go into a boat with Jesus, there's a storm. There's a storm. And but you know, I see the lesson God is trying to teach the disciple. You know, one time he goes, get in the boat, go to the other side, I'll meet you there. Okay? And they go, and there's a storm, wind, oh, they can't do it. Right? And Jesus walks on the water. And how do they respond? Ah, you know, ghost, we're gonna die. Right? Another time, okay, Jesus. They're in the boat with Jesus, and see, be in the boat with Jesus. There will be a storm. Okay? There's a storm, right? But Jesus is sleeping. And the disciples, their reaction was, "You do not care. How can you be sleeping? You don't love us. We're gonna die." I believe every time the disciples went through a storm in the boat, it wasn't that Jesus was trying to kill them. You know, let's get in the boat so I could kill you guys. Right? That wasn't the purpose of Jesus. It wasn't so the storm comes so that they would get upset and angry and fearful. Yeah, that's the purpose of Jesus. Had the storm come so that the disciples would be just bitter, upset, and angry. No. Why was there a storm? I believe one reason. Jesus was trying to teach them about faith. About faith. He even rebukes them because of their lack of faith when the storm hit in the boat. See, when a Christian prioritizes humility more than their fleshly reaction, when a Christian prioritizes humility in the midst of the shaking that's going on in your life, this Christian is saying, I'm refusing to listen to the voice of stress. I'm refusing to listen to the voice of fear. I don't want to listen to my brokenness. I'm not going to listen to condemnation. I'm not going to listen to accusation. When you humble yourself in the midst of the shaking that's going on in your life, in the midst of difficulty, a Christian is prioritizing hearing from God, to hear God's voice. When there's shaking in your life, and I'm doing better at this, but it took me many, many years. When there's shaking in my life, I humble myself. I get on my knees. Nowadays, there's so many times I prostrate myself before God. And you know what? I hear God. I hear God in the midst of the storm. When you humble yourself, you are saying no to all the wrong voices. When you humble yourself, you're preparing your heart, the soil for the seed. You're preparing your heart to hear God's voice. When you're bitter, you're not going to hear God's voice. You're going to hear the demonic voice when you're bitter. When you're fearful, you're not going to hear God's voice. You're going to hear people's opinion. You're going to hear lies, but not God's voice. I was thinking about a farmer, You know, and this is my, I thought it was pretty good. Okay. This is my illustration. Humility is like plowing the soil. Okay. Say that to your neighbor. And think about plowing the soil. And now, again, I know we have all these machines and stuff, but back, I don't know, 100 years ago, it's a very difficult work. It's very humbling work, plowing the soil. Right? It's different from harvest time. You know, during harvest, everybody's happy. They're just celebrating, right? But not when you're plowing. Okay? And you know what I also notice about plowing the soil? It has to be done in the beginning. Okay? You can't do it during harvest time. Okay? You don't plow during harvest. But you can't do it in the middle of the season. It has to be done in the beginning. And it's also a very difficult work, but it needs to be done. Why? Why? It softens and prepares the soil for the seed. And that's what humility is. Point number four. Humility makes you grow. Say that to your neighbor. You know, many years ago, when I was younger, when I was in seminary, beginning ministry, and I was so stupid. I thought I knew a lot about ministry. This young guy, I thought I knew so much about ministry. But as I get older, I'm going to be 60 this year. As I get older, I realize more and more, I don't know that much. I don't know that much. And I've been doing ministry for about over 35 years, many, many years. And I could honestly say, okay, if you truly want to be humble, okay, ministry has humbled me. Okay? Ministry has humbled me. Hear what I did not say. Okay? I didn't say, ministry has made me bitter. Okay? Ministry has made me not trust people. Ministry has disillusioned me. Or ministry has made me proud. Okay? Ministry has humbled me. And that is good. And that is very good. Because more I get humble, I grow as a pastor. There's more anointing I see in my life. There's more spiritual authority that I see in my life. So if, as you serve in the church, if you're getting more bitter, okay, you need to forgive first and then humble yourself. If you're disillusioned or burnt out, don't get bitter. Rest. Take a break. But different difficulties in your life, I challenge you, plow the soil. Okay? Humble yourself. You know, when I meet a Christian that does not spiritually grow, okay, it seems like they're spiritually stuck for many, many years. They never change. Same struggle again and again. They fall into the same relational conflict. They can't overcome their weakness. What do I see? The difficulties, the storm in their personal life makes them bitter, but not humble. Makes them bitter and not humble. And again, God doesn't allow difficulties in your life. It's not his purpose that you get bitter. That's not, oh, okay, I'm doing this so that I could see John become bitter. Hey, hey, angels. No. It's to humble you so that you could hear from God. You know, the difficulty is not to crush you or to make you disillusioned. I believe the difficulty is supposed to humble you, and then you become more teachable. And then God anoints you so that there will be a transformation. There will be an anointing. There will be an overcoming so that you'll become more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Amen? You know, some go backwards spiritually because the difficulties make them bitter. It makes them negative and critical, which makes them go backward in spiritual authority and influence. You know, there was a season, again, this was many years ago when I was younger. I didn't grow in my preaching. And the main reason was I thought I was the greatest preacher. So it was many years ago when I was younger. I don't know. Different churches would invite me to speak at their church. I got invited to retreats and conference. And when I started to preach during that time, everybody was clapping, you're so great. And I go, I must be great. I must be great. Right? And then next thing I know, I thought I was better than other preachers. Better than Pastor Barry. Can you cut that out? I became more critical of other pastors and preachers. And I would hear sermons, okay, you know, different sermon, but my heart was so hard. Even if that sermon was specifically directed towards me, I wasn't teachable. The seed could not be planted in my heart. It was during this season I went backwards in preaching. More, over time, there was less and less anointing, less influence, and less authority. And the way what happened was I was at this conference. I wasn't going to share this, but I was at this conference with three different speakers. Three different speakers. And each one, I could do better than that. That wasn't that good. Oh, let me up there. I'll show them, you know. And I was sitting there, you know, just. And then the Holy Spirit touched me. And I had a vision, okay, at that conference. I had a vision. And my heart was for missions. And I saw in this vision, like a picture. It wasn't a clear vision, but what I saw was in Africa, in South Asia, preachers who weren't even educated, who had no high school education, who only understood few things about the gospel. Some of them just became a Christian, and they would go into their village and just share about Jesus, and the whole village would become Christians. And what I heard the Lord saying to me is, if I could use somebody who's so uneducated, poor, just know that I planted this seed about, this one little seed about Jesus in their heart. And they use it to save a whole village. How dare you, Sam, criticize my worker that I have sent to preach the word of God? And I just cried. Humility makes you grow. Because humility makes you teachable. Humility makes you listen. Humility generates new knowledge and ability. Humility makes you hear God's voice. And so, humility is important. Why? God's purpose is so that you will grow in spiritual authority, grow in your experience, grow in knowledge, grow in maturity, grow in your area of weakness, and grow outside of yourself. Amen? Okay. Can I have the worship team come? I was given 30 minutes, so I wanted to go longer. Each one of you are going through different storms, different shaking that's going on. And you see Jesus sleeping in the boat with you. Right? The disciples reacted the wrong way. They reacted, "Don't you care? Don't you care that we die? How can you be sleeping?" I have a different interpretation of that passage. It's not Jesus was sleeping because he didn't care. The disciples had that same encounter before a storm in the boat, while they're in the boat. And Jesus took care of it. They forgot. But I really believe there was one other reason why he was sleeping. Again, it was about faith. I believe one of the disciples was supposed to stand up in the midst of the storm and rebuke the storm, and the storm would be silent. This is the model of Jesus to his disciple. First, Jesus will heal. And later on, he had his disciple heal the sick. Jesus will show his disciple deliverance, casting out demons. And guess what happened later on? He had his disciples do the same thing. You are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. Jesus is in the boat with you. Many of you are ready to stand up. Or like be like Peter. If it is your will, let me come out to the water and I will be able to walk too. And you know what? He was able to walk. But he took his eyes off Jesus. And he started to sink, but Jesus saved him. God calls you to walk on waters. To silence the storm. To heal the brokenhearted. To set the captive free. To restore places long devastated. Beauty from ashes. But some just choose to be bitter and angry. No, not symphony. God comes to Moses. What he was putting, "I'm with you, rise up." But Moses in Exodus 3:4 said, "No." Symphony, say yes to God. The storms that's going in your life right now, the difficulty, again, it is not God's purpose to crush you. Humble yourself and you'll hear his voice. He will direct you. He will love you. He will encourage you. He will counsel you. He will lift you up. So let's just put that into practice right now as we worship, humbling ourselves. In the midst of different storm that each one of you are going through, to hear the voice of God so that the seed will be planted in our heart and our heart is soft to receive the seed. Let's worship.